Welcome everyone to episode 67 of Reliving the War, and welcome to the 20th of January 1996. It's the night after the 1997 Royal Rumble, and the controversial ending of the Rumble match is going to get addressed tonight on WWF Raw. If you missed the Royal Rumble review, make sure you watch it before viewing this episode of Reliving the War. WCW are getting ready for Sold Out 1997 taking place later in the week, but before getting there, WCW also has a Clash of the Champions special that takes place on the 21st, the night after Monday Nitro. I've already covered Sold Out 1997, so you guys can watch that video anytime you please, so I'm going to put together a video looking at Clash of the Champions instead, and that video will be available later in the week. If you want to get notified when that video goes live, and if you also want to help me, the channel, and this series, please consider subscribing. It would help out a lot. Okay, so WWF Raw is live tonight from Beaumont, Texas, while Nitro is live from Chicago, Illinois. Let's get started with Nitro's first 60 minutes. A big return kicks off Monday Nitro. Macho Man Randy Savage is back, and Savage wants to talk to someone who's got a little stroke. Savage says he's been blackballed by Eric Bischoff, and he's not leaving the ring until someone explains to him what's going on. Before taking his seat in the middle of the ring, Savage tells Bischoff to kiss his ass. Chavo Guerrero vs. Max was supposed to be our opening match, but Savage doesn't budge. Savage takes out both competitors, he destroys the referee. Doug Dillinger and Alex Wright also try to get Savage out of the ring, but it's no use. Sting comes down from the rafters, and Savage gets handed Sting's bat. The Icon turns his back on Macho, but Randy doesn't swing. Instead, he hands the bat back to Sting, and he and the Icon leave the arena together. Great to see Macho Man back on WCW programming. With our opening match cancelled, we move on to match number 2, Alex Wright vs. Chris Jericho. Jericho got the win here with a forward roll, and you can clearly see Alex's shoulders were up during the 3 count, but anyway. Shit Sting took on Scotty Riggs next, Buff Bagwell showed up during the match, and the bout ended when Buff and the New World Order chased Riggs out of the ring. The referee gave Riggs a DQ win, but Dave Penzer was bullied into announcing that the bogus Sting won via countout. Ric Flair conducted a quick pre-taped interview with Big Bob Probert of the Chicago Blackhawks next, and Bob said if he was in Chicago, he'd come after Hulk Hogan in the New World Order. Steve McMichael and Arn Anderson took on Eddie Guerrero and Jeff Jarrett next. Guerrero left his partner high and dry when Six made an appearance during the match, and when AA locked in a Boston Crab, Deborah McMichael jumped into the ring and she threw her sash at Randy Anderson. This was supposed to represent someone throwing in a towel, and the referee calls for the bell. Let's not get into it. The Enforcer is pissed off at the outcome. Ric Flair, Benoit, and Woman then come out for an interview. They're joined by Mongo and Anderson, and Flair says the Horsemen are not the unit they've been in the past. Flair says the original Horsemen took care of Horsemen business before dealing with any women, and that's something that needs to return to the faction. Flair wants the Horsemen to focus on the four core members of the group first of all, and Woman and Deborah should effectively come second. Steve gets a pop from the audience when he says he's home. Mongo calls himself a winner, Deborah says she's a winner, and Chris Benoit tells Mongo to keep things in perspective because this is pro wrestling, not football and not beauty pageants. Mongo ends the interview by reminding Chris that Jarrett defeated him while Mongo and Anderson made quick work of the fake Double J tonight on Nitro. An announcement paid by the New World Order airs next, and it features Eric Bischoff sitting on a motorcycle. He gets filmed by Liz as he brags about how great the NWO is while running down the superstars of World Championship Wrestling. The promo ends with Eric saying there's two things the Macho Man wanted in life, Miss Elizabeth and Eric Bischoff's hair. Ultimo Dragon vs. Dean Malenko was up next, and it was another good match between these two. They're gonna square off again at Clash of the Champions, so we can look at that upcoming match with a little more detail. Dragon got the win here on Monday Nitro. The commentators talked about the WCW committee forcing Hulk Hogan to defend the WCW Championship at Sold Out against the Giant, so that match is now official. Unopposed Point goes to Nitro this week. Enjoyable stuff here during the first half of Monday Nitro, with Savage's return being a highlight. We're starting off Raw with a Bret Hart promo, while WCW Nitro gives us a Jacques Rougeau vs. Steve Regal TV title match. Brett interrupts the commentators on Raw during the show introduction, and the Hitman is still pissed off about what happened at the Royal Rumble. Brett says when he agreed to come back to the World Wrestling Federation, Vince McMahon promised him a WWF title shot. The Hitman had to beat Steve Austin to get that opportunity, and so Brett pinned Austin at Survivor Series 1996. Brett then went on to face Psycho Sid at In Your House, and Brett says it was very convenient that Shawn Michaels was sitting at ringside during his title match. Brett blames Shawn for losing this championship opportunity at In Your House, and he calls out the WWF for pretty much making him enter the Royal Rumble in order to get another shot at the gold. Brett says it's very clear to him that he won the Royal Rumble last night, and Brett feels he should be headlining WrestleMania. Brett says he was screwed by Shawn Michaels, he was screwed by Stone Cold Steve Austin, he was screwed by the World Wrestling Federation, and he's been screwed by Vince McMahon. Hart says it looks like he won't get another title shot, and the Hitman doesn't like to make idle threats, and so Bret Hart announces on Raw that he's quitting the WWF before throwing his microphone down and leaving the ring. Vince McMahon tries to stop Bret, but the Hitman has left the building. Steve Austin then comes out, and it looks like Bret completely broke the microphone. Austin has to ask for another.
You're gonna give me a piece of equipment that works, son, or I have to whip your ass.
Austin says ever since Bret came back to the WWF, he's done nothing but cry. And Austin says when the going gets tough, the hearts get going back home. Stone Cold says Bret shouldn't complain, seeing as Austin has been messed around in this business for 7 years. And tonight, Austin arrived to Raw and he got news from Gorilla Monsoon that his opponent, Psycho Sid, is at home nursing a concussion. Stone Cold says Sid has a yellow stripe running down the middle of his back. And as for Gorilla Monsoon,
as far as Gorilla Monsoon goes, I got a big bunch of bananas and I can tell you where to stick each and every one of them.
Austin announces he's going to face The Undertaker tonight, but Stone Cold doesn't want to wait. Austin wants The Undertaker to show up right now while Vince McMahon leaves the ringside area and he goes backstage. The Austin vs. Undertaker match will happen a little later on, but man, what a segment to open up Monday Night Raw. This kind of stuff is where the WWF would shine in 1997, and the layers of storytelling is absolutely fantastic. Incredible stuff here from Hart, Austin, and even Vince McMahon's reactions were on point. Steve Regal dodges a lockup attempt at the beginning of his match with amazing French-Canadian Jacques Rougeau. Tony Schiavone furthers the Macho Man stuff by saying he's heard Eric Bischoff say that Macho Man Randy Savage will never work another match inside a WCW ring ever again, as Regal transitions from a wrist lock into a headlock. But then Regal gets tripped up by Robert Parker on the outside and Rougeau begins laying in the kicks. Regal ends up on the outside where Parker gets in a cheap shot, and Regal's facial expression afterwards is absolute gold. Rougeau attacks from behind, and the commentary team haven't called a single move in this match. All focus is on Randy Savage getting blackballed by Eric Bischoff. Regal fires back inside the ropes with a few European uppercuts, but once again, Parker causes a distraction on the outside. Regal stomps on Parker's fingers and he tries to go back to the match, but eventually, Rougeau holds Regal up and Parker gets in the ring to land a shot. Regal dodges it and the referee calls for the bell, so for whatever reason, Regal is awarded the victory via disqualification. Let's just go with it. Very strange seeing Regal work as a babyface here. It's definitely a mismatch of characters and yeah, not great at all. Monday Night Raw gets the point. Taskmaster vs. Chris Benoit on Nitro, Furnace and LaFon vs. Bulldog and Owen on Raw. Jim Ross has taken over on play-by-play, Vince McMahon has left the commentary table, Bret Hart has quit the WWF, it's all go on Monday Night Raw, and fans would need to stick with the show to see what happens next. Remember too, Owen eliminated Bulldog from the Royal Rumble last night, so let's see if they can work together tonight. This is a non-title match, the chinlock soundbite is queued up, so here we go. LaFon and Owen start things off with a few impressive wristlock counters and the exchange ends with a quick Northern Lights suplex from Phil LaFon. A few side headlock takedowns follow and neither man gets any kind of advantage. Everything gets countered with either another hold or a pin attempt, and everything Owen and LaFon do here is very crisp. Davey can't wait to get in there and fuck it all up. Doug Furness comes into the match and Owen takes a shoulder block. Furness keeps Davey at bay also before nailing Owen with a nice dropkick, and we also see a perfect overhead belly-to-belly suplex. Owen fires back with a spinning wheel kick. Yes, spinning wheel kick. It isn't called that anymore, I know, but I still call it a wheel kick. Spinning wheel kick. In comes Davey Boy Smith, and he doesn't get a chance to do a chin lock at all. He has to deal with a Frankensteiner from Doug Furness. Davey has to take a timeout afterwards while Phil LaFon gets tagged back in. Davey gets back into the ring, he brings his opponent to the corner, and Owen does a little cheating behind the referee's back. Davey then takes a jawbreaker, but he turns his head a little before taking the move. A cheekbreaker, perhaps? Phil LaFon smashing some cheeks. Bulldog finds himself in a leg lock before Furness tags in, and poor Davey gets his sack split in half. And as Jim Ross hypes up tonight's main event, Owen tags in and he hits an insane missile dropkick on Furness. Here, take another look. Jim Ross completely stopped hyping up the main event once Owen nailed the move. Owen's clearly been spending too much time with Davey. He applies a chin lock before we go to commercial break. And when we come back, Jim Ross hypes up La Femme Nikita, a show coming up on the USA Network. And I only mention this because Ross actually makes fun of that wimpy Robin Hood who appeared on TNT after Nitro last week.
Hey, I got a good idea. Let's put Nikita in the ring with Robin Hood. Huh? That wimpy Robin Hood, you know. Hey, her arms are bigger than his.
Owen tries a sharpshooter, but Furness kicks Owen away. We see a replay of that Owen Hart missile dropkick, and it's definitely worth seeing again. Davey jumps into the ring for some double team shenanigans, but Furness takes out both guys with a jumping clothesline. The crowd are going nuts for this match, and honestly, so am I. This has been great so far. Owen stops Furness from making a tag, and the champs get an opportunity to attack Furness while the referee's back's turned. Owen ends up taking a crossbody attack, but he immediately replies with an enziguri. The Bulldog comes back in and he hits a vertical suplex. He tags out straight afterwards, and Owen Hart with another chin lock. What dimension did we just step into? Furness fights out, but Owen comes right back with an overhead belly-to-belly suplex. Owen then heads to the top, but his diving splash misses its target. It's now a race to see who can make a tag. Owen gets to his corner first, but Furness is able to tag out just in time, and Davey takes a clothesline. LaFon then brings Owen into the ring, and the champions are now in trouble. We see another Northern Light suplex from LaFon, but Davey kicks out at two. A great idea ends up not looking as good as it could have next. Davey goes for a hip toss, but LaFon counters with a DDT. Davey just wasn't sure which way he should bump here. The match then comes to an end when Owen breaks up a pin attempt, and Furness runs in to take out Owen. Hart then nails Phil LaFon with his Slammy Award, and Davey hits the running power slam, and that's it. Owen and Davey win the match. This was an excellent tag match for WWF Raw. I don't know what kind of prep talk happened before this week's show, but so far, Raw has been fantastic. And I honestly want to stick with the WWF here instead of watching more Nitro. Guess I better put away the chin lock soundbite for another week too. Chris Benoit attacks Kevin Sullivan during Sullivan's entrance, and we have a wild brawl on the ramp. The two men then begin fighting in the crowd, and Sullivan brings Chris all the way to the concourse. Benoit lays in a few punches before the two men make their way to the men's restroom, and these two really like fighting in the toilets, don't they? It's like Sullivan said, there's only one place we can fight Chris, and it's in the shitters. Trust me, it'll get over. Doug Dillinger tried to keep the fans out, but a few got in. I feel sorry for those who actually really needed to take a shit here. There's a good little moment where Benoit rips the plexiglass off an advertising board and Sullivan gets whacked. Doug Dillinger tries to break it up, but there's no point. The two men eventually head back out, and look at this boy here. He thinks it's hilarious that these two are destroying themselves right before his very eyes. It's absolute chaos as the two men try to make their way down the ringside. Woman legitimately starts hitting fans with her shoe so they'll clear a path. And here, watch this closely.
Where's Benoit?
Where's Benoit?
A fan tries to push Sullivan, and he does a good job too, by the way, but then the security guy behind Sullivan completely fucking clocks the guy. Lights out, man. Lights out. Benoit and Sullivan make their way down to the entranceway while still fighting. Sullivan throws a beer all over Chris, and a fan gets instantly inspired. Chris takes another beer bath on his way back to the ring. The two men get inside the ropes, and Randy Anderson calls for the bell. The match has just started. Chris tries to set Sullivan up on the top rope, but Sullivan gets down. Chris then finds himself hung up in the Tree of Woe, but he too gets down and he surprises Sullivan in the opposite corner. Taskmaster then hits a low blow, but the referee doesn't see any point in calling for a DQ. Chris then takes an atomic drop, and take a look at Sullivan's sail job when Benoit rebounds back. Some proper theatre stuff right here. Woman jumps on the apron, and this gives Jimmy Hart an opportunity to pass Sullivan the ring bell. Chris goes for the diving headbutt, and
he is going to ring his bell.
Oh! That's what it is!
The sound of the bell completely makes it, and I didn't add that in, by the way. Sullivan then pins Benoit, and it's all over. The Taskmaster beats Chris Benoit. This was really fun to watch, but I also really liked the Raw match, so I'm giving a point to both shows here. The good news is Sullivan vs. Benoit happens again at Clash of the Champions, and it's a Falls Count Anywhere match. Looking forward to checking that one out later in the week, and hopefully you are too. One Raw match versus two Nitro matches. Farouk vs. Bart Gunn goes up against Cardwellette vs. Jim Duggan and Dave Taylor vs. Masahiro Chono. Jim Ross again takes shots at WCW Nitro, saying you won't have to sit through Robin Hood in order to see tonight's Steve Austin vs. Undertaker matchup. Bart Gunn takes the early advantage and Farouk finds himself in an armbar. He eventually transitions into a wrist lock. We go to the inevitable hammerlock, and Jim Ross and the King are still in shock about Bret Hart quitting and Vince McMahon disappearing from the commentary table. We go to a commercial break and Farouk has the upper hand when we come back. It isn't explained how this happened. It looks like Bart Gunn goes for a spinning DDT, but Farouk nails his signature spinebuster. Wolfie D and JC Ice then get in a few cheap shots behind the referee's back. Farouk then applies a sleeper hold and he uses every trick in the book to fool the referee. Eventually, Mike Chioda notices the cheating and Farouk is forced to break the hold. The Nation of Domination watch on as the two competitors go back and forth. Farouk then applies a chin lock. He lets go and he slams Bart to the mat. Farouk goes to the top rope, but Bart counters the attack and Farouk ends up eating the canvas. Farouk takes a few clotheslines, Bart hits a nice bulldog, but the Nation give Farouk an assist when Bart goes for the pin. This results in PG-13 getting taken out by Gunn, and Farouk lands a double axe handle from the apron. Crush then throws Gunn back into the ring, Farouk hits a Dominator, and the Nation's leader picks up a pinfall victory. Nothing special at all, but a very passable TV match. The NWO take over the commentary desk for the remainder of the show. We have two Nitro matches to look at here, and honestly, both are pretty uneventful. Duggan vs. Ouellette is exactly what you'd expect, with the exception of a surprise run-in. Card tries to get an early advantage, but Duggan uses his spidey senses and Ouellette gets taken out. Card takes a moment on the outside of the ring, Jacques Rougeau shows up also, and back inside the ropes, Card takes advantage of a Robert Parker distraction by hitting a leaping body guillotine on Duggan, or the reverse teabag. Ouellette then lands a middle rope leg drop, and then Rick and Scott Steiner run down to the ring. Rick Steiner takes out Rougeau, Ouellette gets hit behind the referee's back by Scotty Steiner, and Jim Duggan scores the win with a taped fist. An absolute filler match, nothing more. Moving on, Eric Bischoff orders Nick Patrick to officiate our next matchup, Masahiro Chono vs. Dave Taylor, so you can pretty much guess what happens here. Kevin Nash makes fun of Squire Dave Taylor by calling him Sherlock Holmes, and Masahiro Chono gets in an early attack when both men were removing their jackets. Chono then hits a falling inverted DDT, and the chances of Taylor getting back into this one are already looking very unlikely. Chono hits a top rope shoulder block, and surprisingly enough, Taylor lands a sunset flip, but Patrick gives a slow count. The two men get back to their feet, they trade strikes, Taylor manages to hit a dropkick that sends Chono to the apron, and Chono gets sent to the outside after a second rope double axe handle. Taylor throws Chono into the guardrail, but he doesn't follow up afterwards. Chono gets back inside the ropes, he floors Taylor with a Yakuza kick, and Chono makes Taylor tap out with an STF. I'm a bit torn here, the Duggan match felt like a waste of time, the Chono match wasn't that good either, but the draw here is actually seeing Masahiro Chono in WCW. I'm going with Raw again. If I had to choose which to recommend over the other, I'd probably go with Gunn vs. Farouk. Close call though. Gorilla Monsoon addresses the Royal Rumble situation next, while Scott Hall battles Booker T on Nitro. Vince McMahon comes down to the ring along with Gorilla, and Gorilla says he's disappointed about Bret Hart's decision tonight, but Monsoon hopes Bret can hear him right now. Gorilla says he has an invitation for the Hitman. Monsoon can't change what happened at the Royal Rumble, and the history books will state that Steve Austin was the winner. However, Steve Austin will not be getting a WrestleMania title shot due to his tainted victory. Monsoon has put together a 4-man, no disqualification match that's going to take place at In Your House 13. The winner of that match will get a title opportunity at WrestleMania. The participants in this match are The Undertaker and Vader, two men who were illegally eliminated by Steve Austin. If he accepts, Bret Hart will be a competitor in the In Your House 13 main event. And finally, Stone Cold Steve Austin will also be included in this unique matchup. Steve Austin comes down to the ring, and Austin reminds Gorilla that there's no instant replay rule in the World Wrestling Federation. There's no reason why this 4-way match should even take place, and Austin also reminds Gorilla that Bret Hart just left the company. We get another great line from Steve Austin next.
You sit there and call yourself the Gorilla, yet you hee-haw out here like a jackass.
Woohoo! Stone Cold's on fire tonight. Austin reiterates that he shouldn't be in this match, but if he has to, he'll compete at In Your House. Stone Cold then steps out of the ring to confront Monsoon and McMahon, but then Bret Hart re-emerges. Kinda funny that Bret didn't actually leave when you think about it, but anyway, the Hitman accepts the match, and he tells Austin they don't need to wait until In Your House and they can fight right now. The two men brawl on the entranceway, with Bret getting the upper hand, and the segment fades to black as Raw prepares to deliver a huge main event. Scott Hall's very first singles match in WCW is up next, and he's going up against Booker T. Hall gets a fantastic ovation on his way to the ring, and he tries to get a kiss from Sister Sherry, but Sherry doesn't do it. Nick Patrick is our referee, and he checks over Booker while ignoring Hall. Booker doesn't take too kindly to this, but the match begins with Hall throwing his toothpick at Booker. Booker fires back with a slap to the face. Hall realizes that Booker isn't here to play, and so the bad guy lands a kick to start off the action. Hall keeps hold of the wrist and he suplexes Booker, smoothly transitioning into an armbar while gaining the early advantage. Hall then tries to embarrass Booker by slapping him around, but Booker comes back with a hook kick and Scott gets floored. Hall gets back up and Booker goes on offense. Kevin Nash says Hall is just getting warmed up, but it sure doesn't look that way when Booker lands a hard European uppercut. Hall then dodges an elbow drop, but Booker performs the spin-a-rooney before landing a jumping sidekick. Even the fans wearing NWO shirts popped for this. Hall comes back with a fallaway slam, and again the crowd pops. The bad guy tries to set Booker on the top rope, but that doesn't work out, and Booker lands a flying crossbody. Nick Patrick gives a very slow count afterwards, and Booker gets pissed off. Booker argues with Patrick, and this allows Hall to hit the outsider's edge. Buff Bagwell ran down, and he made sure Sister Sherry couldn't interfere, and Scott Hall wins via pinfall. A very short match, but it also had a lot of impact. While the story building over on Raw was excellent, with the WWF continuing to hook viewers in. Points for both shows. It's time for our final segments, and again, one Raw match versus a Nitro match and a Nitro promo. Austin versus Undertaker on Raw, and we have Stevie Ray versus Lex Luger and a Hulk Hogan promo on Monday Nitro. Undertaker's entrance takes place in the middle of the Bret Hart and Austin fight. The Deadman attacks Bret on the entranceway, which was quite interesting to see, and Austin takes advantage of this by attacking Taker. It doesn't take long for the Phenom to turn things around on the outside, and Austin gets absolutely destroyed. Getting into the ring first helps Austin to gain the upper hand. A few boots keep the Deadman at bay, but Taker comes straight back and the crowd loves it. Taker then hits old school. He brings Austin to the corner where the Rattlesnake gets choked with the Deadman's boot, and the Undertaker lays in a ton of strikes as Steve Austin looks pretty inferior in comparison to the Phenom tonight. Jerry Lawler says Bret Hart is waiting by the entranceway. Everyone is on edge tonight and there's no telling what could happen. Finally, Stone Cold gets a chance to show what he can do. Austin lands a neckbreaker, and when the Deadman sits up on the mat, Austin keeps the pressure on with a few kicks. Austin lands a back elbow, but it only scores him a two count. The Undertaker fights his way out of a chin lock, but Austin stays in control by choking the dead man on the middle ropes. Austin jumps to the outside while holding Taker's head over the rope. Stone Cold gets back inside the ring where he rams the Undertaker's head into the top turnbuckle. Undertaker briefly wakes up and Austin takes a few right hands, but Austin comes back with a double axe handle from the middle rope. Chin lock number 2 from Steve Austin. Undertaker fights out as Jerry Lawler leaves the commentary table to coach Stone Cold. The King is telling Austin to attack the Undertaker's ribs. Undertaker then hits a very uncharacteristic low blow on his opponent, but the crowd pops for it. Jim Ross says this is a side of the Undertaker we don't want to explore, and I don't know about that, ball kicking Undertaker sounds like a lot of fun. Austin tries to get his little SOBs in order as Taker approaches the rattlesnake, but then Austin hits a surprise Stone Cold Stunner. Stone Cold's balls are completely mangled though, so he can't follow up with a pin. And just before we go to commercial break, we see Vader and Bret Hart being pulled apart backstage. We come back and Stone Cold's little stunners have magically healed up, and the dead man takes an elbow to the face. Austin then tries to go to the top turnbuckle, but the ball abuse continues when Taker kicks the ropes. Stone Cold fights off a superplex attempt and he hits his second rope elbow drop. Taker comes back with his signature jumping clothesline. And Jim Ross is still burying the Robin Hood show on TNT. We then see Vader running down to the ring as the Undertaker was just about to end the match. Vader takes a chokeslam before Bret Hart also gets in the ring, and the final four have a big old brawl to end this episode of Raw. Austin tries to escape, but Bret gives chase. The two men fight at the entranceway and around the ring as Undertaker continues to deal with Vader. And yeah, this is how Raw ended. This episode of Monday Night Raw was fantastic, and gonna be truthful, I've seen this episode quite a few times and it's one of my favourites. Without a doubt, in my opinion, the best episode of Raw so far on Reliving the War. Stevie Ray vs Lex Luger, two big dudes and currently two fan favourites. Luger faces Scott Hall tomorrow night in the Clash of the Champions main event, by the way, but that show hasn't been built up at all in comparison to Sold Out. Bischoff and Nash have promoted the hell out of Sold Out on the headsets, as these Clash shows were simply getting in the way of pay-per-view buys and Monday night ratings. Clash 34 would be the second to last special to air on TBS. Stevie Ray starts off strong and it's clear he's working heel tonight. Lex takes a beating in the corner, but he quickly turns it around and Stevie takes a few right hands followed by a few kicks. Luger poses to the crowd and this was costly. The total package gets thrown out of the ring and he ends up also getting thrown into the guardrail. Sister Sherry chokes Lex too, putting Luger at a further disadvantage. And back inside the ropes, Stevie Ray hits a clothesline. Ted DiBiase leaves the announce table and Six takes over on commentary. Trillionaire Ted said he's going back to check on Hogan before his promo. Luger comes back with a power slam and we see the torture rack, just like that. Nick Patrick calls for a disqualification because Sherry got on the apron, so Luger still wins the match, although Lex isn't happy with a DQ win. This, at least, is what I think they tried to do here, but it was never explained. Lex is pissed off with his win, so I don't know, a by-the-numbers match anyway, doesn't really matter. Out comes Hulk Hogan and we really don't have much time left on Nitro, so this is gonna be super rushed. The Hulkster says the fans want to see the pythons, we get some classic Hogan poses, and Hogan then talks about using his arms as a set of airplane wings when the NWO had a little trouble on their flight to the Windy City. Someone please Photoshop that and send me it on Twitter. Hogan then calls the Giant fat and pimple infested, so now the Giant has been called big, stinky, fat and pimple infested. Someone holds up a lovely sign directed straight at Mr. Eric Bischoff as Hogan continues ripping into the Giant. Not kidding here, he talks about the Giant's mom. Hulk Hogan may be a great heel in the NWO, but his trolling skills are absolutely horrible. Hulk says he told the Giant's mom what a good boy he was as the Hulkster continued to use the big man while the Giant was a member of the NWO. And then the Giant makes an appearance. Apparently he's tired of the lame insults too. Nitro ends with the Giant being restrained. It ends very suddenly and there's no physicality before Sold Out. So final point goes to Raw. Raw wins this week's Reliving the War, and it was very well deserved. Nitro was still good, by the way. You should check out both shows this week, but you can skip the last 10 minutes or so of WCW Monday Nitro. I'm sure I'm not the only one who remembers this episode of Raw quite well, though. And for those who haven't seen it, watch it from start to end. Don't watch it in segments, because you need to see the whole thing. Even the commentary was on point. We now have 23 points to Raw, 34 points to Nitro, and we've got 10 ties. In the television ratings, Nitro continues to dominate. We have a 3.7 for WCW, while WWF Raw scored a 2.2. So, if you want to keep going with our timeline and watch things in order, you'll need to watch the Clash of the Champions video coming up later in the week first, and then you'll check out the Sold Out video that I've already put together a while back. If you can't wait, the Clash video and the next episode of Reliving the War are already available on Patreon, so if you want to check out early videos while also helping me out, have a look on Patreon and check out the available tiers. Thanks very much for watching, guys. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you all at Clash of the Champions 34.